Hey gang, if you live in Austin, I'm here to tell you about a fantastic event called The Wind Down, presented by KUTX, Austin Music Foundation, and Rufino Wine. The Wind Down takes place Wednesday, July 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the 310 Austin City Limits Live Theater. There'll be live music by the band El Tule, my guest today, free food by Malaga, and a pop-up shop from Lux Apothetique, and also free wine from Rufino. That's Wednesday, July 27th, 5 to 8 p.m., The Wind Down at ACL 310 Theater. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you today. John Dell from the band El Tule is here today. Their most recent release, Cuatro, is available now. You can find it at iTunes, on Spotify, at all the places where you get music. But you can find out all about the band when they'll be playing at eltuleband.com. They played a lot of festivals. They just played last year at ACL. They played Pachanga Fest. They're actually playing next Friday, July 29th, at Viva Big Bend Fest. So, get out to eltuleband.com, find out all you can about them, sit back and enjoy my conversation with John Dell. We have a great conversation, great band, the whole deal. All right, before we get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me, or maybe not with me, maybe with the show. Let me tell you what's going on with the show. All right, hey, we don't do any marketing, we don't do any advertising, don't really have the money to spend on that stuff. So this show, the popularity of it has grown just by word of mouth. People telling each other, hey, I heard this show and it's got this going on. So if you hear a show you like, share it on Facebook, on Twitter, on, you know, tell your friends about it. You know, oh, I've been listening to this show. I would really appreciate it. The show will benefit from that. I notice that whenever people share it and start sharing a thing, we see our numbers go up, and that's great. That's what I would love to see. And also, you can subscribe to it on iTunes. You can subscribe to it on Stitcher. When you like a show, you know, leave a comment. Say something about it. That helps our overall rating, helps us secure better advertising, and to keep this show free for you, and to also keep the show growing. All right? So thank you for listening to my spiel. What's going on with me? Playing tonight with Skyrocket. If you're in Pflugerville, we will be playing at Hanover's. And we will be playing about 10 o'clock. Great show. It's going to be a good time. We're looking forward to it. Going to Houston tomorrow to play a private show and to talk to a pop band from Houston called Dropout Vegas. Great band. I'm going to talk to them before I go play the show. Sunday, going to visit with my grandma. Then I'm going to come home, do my thing. All right? What are you doing this weekend? You enjoying your summer? You getting out into the pool action? You doing some dancing? You know, I'll tell you what. This El Tule would be great on your pool party mix. Great music. Shake your ass too. All right? Pick up their new album, Cuatro. It's out now. Enjoy my conversation with John. We have a great conversation about the band, about the music, about growing up in Mexico, about the whole thing, all right? Enjoy my conversation with John Dell. El Tule. Let's get down. So it's probably pronounced Gaudi.
Gaudi.
What's Dell? Like, how are you a Latin music guy?
Dell.
Because I'm Cuban.
I
don't know if you know this. Yeah,
I did not know that.
Born in Cuba. I was raised on this music that you have on there.
Yeah. I grew up in Mexico.
Okay, me too.
So
I lived for a while when I was a kid.
Where at?
In Fortín de las Flores, which is like in Veracruz, but like inland in the rainforest.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. What about you?
Monterrey.
Monterrey.
Yeah.
So are there Mexican guys in your family? Why were you in Mexico?
Well, you know, my parents grew, you know, they moved down there and I just happened to be raised in Mexico.
Right.
and then, you know, moved to...
Were they running from something or...
No, they're just working down there. There's a lot of expats down there.
Yeah.
Especially in that city. It's really, it's kind of like the Detroit, you know, and there's a lot of, there's a big American community down there.
Huh. How'd you like it?
I loved it. Well, it was a different country back then.
Yeah.
But, this, we're talking like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, moved to the States when I was 15. And then, my wife, she's from the border, actually.
She looks blonde as well.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of those on the border, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, actually in Monterrey, I can walk around and nobody even really looks twice. It's just, you know, there's a lot of guys with blue eyes, green eyes, blonde hair, red hair. There's a lot of that. And that, there's a big, Arabic, European influence in that city.
Huh. I was noticing that when I was listening to your guitar stuff on songs. I'm like, you know, there is that whole thing that happened when the Moors went into Spain. Isn't that when it initially happened?
Yep.
And then all that music from then on has this weird, like, Middle Eastern twist.
It's kind of, and it keeps changing. Like, we'll do some cumbia, and really all that is just, it's just something, it's pretty interesting stuff because it's just constantly evolving. I mean, as they say, it has, like, Afro-Latin roots, but really, so then the Mexican bands took over, and now they put their spin on it.
Yeah.
You know, accordions, and all it is polka.
Right.
Really.
Right.
And it's like a mix of polka, Afro-Latin, and it keeps evolving. Now you got your digital DJs doing their thing, and we figured, well...
But that Latin polka comes from the Germans and the North Mexicans mixing together, like the South Texan Germans and the North Mexican.
Yeah, I like to, like, we've played Schultz Beer Garden, and I like to think of those guys in the late 1800s, mid 1800s. They were playing polka, and really the bass lines they played on the tuba.
Yeah,
it's the same thing we're doing nowadays.
Yeah,
has it changed? Just got a different face,
right? But,
and it's just, it goes over well with people. I mean, people like to dance to it. It's just a good time stuff, you know. So
yeah,
we're like, let's try it, see what happens, and here we are, like 15 years later.
So you started 15 years ago?
The band?
Yeah.
We're in our, like, 14th, well, 2000 and, we were, the first release was 2005, so let's say 2004 or so.
Long enough.
Yeah.
Long enough to
something
be a
like
band.
That.
Over a decade of playing. How did you guys start out? Where did you, like, what was going on? What, Sonyuma was playing around, were they? I'm trying to think of the context of what was going on.
They were around. Well, there was, like, you know, when we started off, we were playing all kinds of, it was all over the place. And there was a band, Cienfuegos. We saw those guys.
I never saw those guys.
They play like traditional classic Cuban. It's okay. Straight up. It was, you know, from Cienfuegos, Cuba.
Right.
And I saw the people dancing, having a good time. And I said, you know, man, I want to do that. And, you know, honestly, we weren't very successful at pulling off what they do because, I mean, it's well, for one thing, it's challenging.
It's hard, man.
I know. Especially when you go from 4-4 and you try to swing it like those guys do. It's just nothing to do. So what we did was we put our own spin on it. So we kind of like, it's a combination of like Allman Brothers meets Buena Vista Social Club. And it's really, that's kind of what it is. You hear some Hendrix in it. You hear... I'm just like one of the guys in the band, really. You know, it's not like it's my band or anything. I'm just like, you know, like in the bands, in my experience, you have like the PR guy that goes out and meets. And then so, you know, people put that kind of face on it. But really, it's an 8-piece big band. We have all kinds of personalities and influences.
How long has these exact 8 people been together?
We've been together for years, and that's something we're very fortunate about.
Not a lot of changing over.
Well, there was a lot of changing initially,
right.
Once we kind of found our identity and what we do now, it just kind of happened on its own. It just kind of took its own natural course, and the guys, solid year-long members. So, and I mean, we have like Steven Selvey on guitar. This guy's from Virginia, and he's just like, he's a monster on guitar. Puts me to shame. You know, he's one of those guys that can switch from Latin to jazz to flamenco with no effort. And then, you know, there's like my wife, Tracy Chavez Dell on bass. She's grown to be just an amazing bass player.
She's a great bass player.
She is, you know, and she's a really, I mean, she's the better wife than I could have, you know. I mean, I don't even know what I did to deserve that, but, and as far as being a mother to my kids, I mean.
Oh, you got kids too? How many kids?
Yeah, I have a son, Julian, 8, and Maya, 5. So that's all happened in the context of this band too.
Wow. How do they like it? Do they like it?
They love
it,
man.
Like into something else, like,
well,
like
you
One
know
Direction
how kids
or something.
Are. They kind of like, yeah. I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
but they're
yeah.
cool, man. They go out and, you know, they're like, you know, he's my little merch guy. We go out and put flyers up. And then we have Mateo Turner on congas, and this guy, he literally traveled the country, you know, following the Grateful Dead and Fish and whatnot, playing at djembe. And he played it every day, and he played it a lot. We're talking about like rainbow gatherings that played week straight. And when he switched over on congas, look at him. And he studied it. He's studied with you know the real deal Cubans. He's a freaking monster. He's a, you know, and he really is up front with the band. He puts the swing on it. And then we have a Yonel Agustin. He's from Haiti, and he has that just unmistakable Afro Latin flavor to it.
What is that? The drummer guy?
He's a timbalero, okay. Yonel. The drummer. Gabriel Martinez, solid, lays it down, super humble guy, and he's good at what he does, and he does what he says, and what you see is what you get. The guy's just there, solid. And the horns, man, I was thinking about this on the way over here. I realize how fortunate we are to have these guys. You know, Johnny, we experienced this. I experienced this when I was younger in Florida, when I met a bass player and a drummer that had been playing together since they were kids.
Right, yeah.
And we're talking about grown men.
Yeah.
That's what these dudes do. Max Garson, Joseph Ledesma, they met when they were in middle school.
Right.
And playing in band. Max, trombone, Joseph, trumpet. And here we are. They're like, you know, in their 30s, and they're still playing together. So that combination, when you hear those guys play, it's like, whoa, man, how did that happen?
Yeah,
you should have those guys in here. How did you pull this?
How did you do that?
How do you do what you do? Well, they've been playing together since they were kids, man. And you know, I count my blessings, man. It's never imagined pulling off the stuff we are pulling off.
You guys are amazing. And I was watching it, and I was thinking about how much fun it must be. Because I'm in a band that's a cover band, and we play the dance music. There's something about not being like the sad, you know, dyed black-haired guy with hair in your face singing about how terrible your life is, to actually having this music that's a celebration that people can look forward to. And it's like the second you start playing, people get happy.
They do, man. You know, it's it's been the mission statement from the very beginning. To the music is about the mission statement is history, art, and culture.
Yeah,
and I realized from early on that it wasn't even intentional, that it's void of controversy. There's no, I mean, honestly, man, you don't want to hear about my political views. I mean, you don't want to hear about what
there's a song, I can't remember the name of it, but it's on your new album, and it's about with all the different girls dancing.
Oh yeah. These are real dancers. These are real people from the Austin salsa community.
Yeah.
It's a very close-knit community. And there is the Guerra Francesa. She's a friend of ours. She speaks French, German. She's this Liddy. The La Venezolana, the Cuban, las Colombianas. These are real people. And, I mean, you just can't make that stuff up, man. So that was given the shout out to all of our friends, the dancers.
It's funny when you're doing that, though. Someone can hear that in another place and think you're talking about them. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Someone's dancing on a dance floor listening to this in Venezuela, and all the chicks, when you say Venezolanas, they're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's pretty cool.
And there's, you know, we have this couple, Johnny, that's, I don't know their names because I haven't caught them. They're a bit elusive. But this guy, he's in his early 90s, and his wife is in her 80s, and they come out and they dance, man.
Yeah.
And they drive themselves to the show, and man, I don't know. That's pretty powerful stuff right there.
Yeah.
And they get down, too.
Yeah.
So there's them all the way to young adults. It's all over the place, man. It's all inclusive.
Yeah. And it's a serious dancing thing. It's like when you go, like, like to the broken spoke, and people are two-stepping. Like, it's not, they're not fucking around, man. It's like, this is some serious dancing. Like, I've worked on this, and I'm doing it. Like, I'm working up a sweat, and people, like, if you don't dance well, they give you the,
There's those, and then there's the, I like to think of, I bring it up at every gig, there's no dance moves required. Just come on, get down. We have hipsters doing some funky shake dance. We have seasoned school salsa dancers. We have your street entry level cumbia dancers. It's all over the place, man. No dance moves required. There's all kinds that come out.
How do you, with eight people, like I'm in a band with seven people, and to me that's kind of the limit.
Mm-hmm.
But like eight, I'm like, how do you get to... How do you round everyone up for rehearsal? How do you keep everyone going? How do you, you know what I mean? Like
sheer determination.
That's a long time. I mean, it's as long as Skyrocket's been together, you know?
Congratulations, man.
Yeah.
We're the minority.
You know what it is? Like, we've only lost one guy, like switched out one guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hang, man. You know, you spend time sitting around backstage. I'm sure you guys do shows where you play. I saw you're playing weddings and stuff. So you do these shows where you have to spend all day together. Basically, you show up at three, you set up, you go sit in a room for a while.
Exactly.
And then you go play, and then you come back and sit in a room for a while and go back and play.
Or on the road out to you know, Alpine this month.
And there's something about, so you guys are playing, I've got it written down, Viva Big Ben.
Viva Big Ben. I'll tell you what, man, that's like when we started doing that, first of all, it's like freaking 73 degrees at night out there. And the daytime, it's like mid-high 70s max because of the altitude.
Right.
And so you go out there and play a gig in July and they have a bonfire outside the place. It's like a gem of a festival.
You're doing that on July 29th, Friday, July 29th. Is that festival goes on all weekend?
Yeah, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Do you do El Cosmico and stuff like that? Are you like part of that whole Western Texas?
We go out there regularly. We haven't done that one yet. I took the kids to stay in the teepee.
Uh huh.
You know, that move. That went off well.
Yeah.
So, but I love it out there. You know, it reminds me of Mexico, really, man.
Yeah, totally. So it's easy to round everyone up in the eight man band, and people, the hang is good. Everyone looks forward to being together.
Well, we just make a conscious effort to get along, don't sweat the little stuff, and just try to have a good time and count our blessings and just be grateful. I mean, my experience is, man, if I practice an attitude of gratitude, everything else just kind of falls into place. And don't get me wrong, man, I'm only human. You know, I can get caught up in negativity like anybody else, but I don't stay there.
I apologize to my neighbor. I yelled at him the other night.
Hey, man, you just go and say, I'm sorry, man, and hey, just move on. You know, what else can you do, man?
Yeah. Nobody's weird? I was kind of oddly waiting for him to come out so that I could do it then, because I've never knocked on his door. Yeah. I don't really like him, but
you
I feel like I was rude, and I want to apologize for being rude.
Yeah, well, you do that for you, not for him. Go over and say, hey, I'm sorry, man, and just move on, and that's about all you can do. Yeah, there's a lot of that goes on. You know,
it's good advice. You can tell your dad. You had very very confident and very calm and nice.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Yeah. It's part of the show. You know, kids will make you kids have made me a better person.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man.
Let me ask you a question I ask a lot of people that are couples that play together.
Sure.
And that is, a lot of stuff can get mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there ever like a music argument that you know is about the dishes or the night before or something?
On a regular basis. Sometimes I can't even tell them apart.
that's what I've always thought would happen. And that's what a lot of people say.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it's just, you know.
Sometimes I can't even tell them apart, but we just, once again, you know, we don't dwell on just don't dwell on it, man. Just move on. Have a good time. Nothing lasts forever, man. You know, next thing you know, I'm going to turn around. This whole show is going to be over. So I just take it a day at a time and make the best of it.
There are those things about keeping a relationship together that, like, there's going to be bad days. Just deal with it, because one day when it gets better, if you jumped ship, I'm divorced. I don't ever really think back about, like, oh, I really missed out. But they say that, you know, it can be, you know, it's sticking it out is just a matter of literally sticking it out.
It takes work. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, there's all kinds of different ways, but I think just being aware of it, that's you know as well as I do that the musician life, it's not for everybody. You know, it has its challenges, but it's very rewarding too.
Right, though. And it must be nice to be able to share that with your partner as opposed to sort of having to not being able to share fully. You know what I mean? Like, you can share with your partner, you know, this is awesome, but this person's actually having the same experience that you are.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a beautiful thing to get to.
It is. And I mean, it's just from, we had no, well, really what happened was I'd been playing in bands since high school, you know, through different eras, you know, the whole rap metal world, the poppy stuff.
I was going to ask that. I was going to ask if you were always in Latin music or if you were.
No, not at all. Austin made it possible. You know, this band made it possible for me to become the musician that I am. It's tied together. And I think that's been the experience for some, if not most, or all of us in the band. It's, you know, we kind of find a sense of identity in the course of playing in this band. And it's constantly changing from one album to the next. It's, you know, it's totally different.
I always feel like that's one of the biggest benefits of Austin is you can come here and work it out.
Man, there is no other.
Before you take it somewhere, you know what I mean? And get really judged.
Exactly. There's no other city like that. It would not be possible for us to do what we do in any other city. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. It's just not. And it just was not forced. I can remember sitting around our apartment, Tracy and I, and one of the early songs, El Chupacabra. And it was just like, you know, one of these things, write a lot about mythology and traditions and this and that. And had no intention of ever going out and actually playing a gig, much less, you know, recording albums and playing festivals and whatnot. And so when we do, when I do find myself in those situations, it never wears off, man. I still have that sense of, wow. And I've had a couple of like big moments like that. And it doesn't have to be some big gig. It can be just be some small one where I just kind of look around at the guys. I'm like, man, this is great. We're pulling this off. This is where it's at. You know, it's just like when you connect with people and everybody's dancing and swinging and having a good time.
Yeah.
At that moment,
they let go.
Everything in my world is okay, man. And it's that very little short moment that makes all of that, the rehearsals and recordings and all the challenges and arguing and making up and all that. Yeah. It makes it all worth it, man.
That's this part. That's the part that you know, that's the part you're trying to, like, that's the high you're trying to get, that little hit of like, it's all, and it can be one song in a set. It can even be like a minute of a whole night of music.
It can.
Or it can be a whole show. Sometimes when it's a whole show.
Just an experience, one song. I mean, I remember last October when we got the call from our booking guy we've been working with over the last couple of years. I can't say enough about the guy, Chris Love. He just, I trust the guy. I like the guy. Everybody calls and says, you guys are in good hands. I like this guy.
Yeah, and it seems like you guys are doing some really diverse things. Like you're playing at Hotel Vegas, which is like...
Yep.
Not where you would expect to see your band. You know what I mean?
Well, that's kind of, Johnny, that's kind of like one of the things is that I don't really pay too much attention to what other people do, but I know that we're very fortunate to jump from Hotel Vegas to, we've been doing like a dance party there. We were bringing like a Colombian band or a DJ or a singer-songwriter. We mix it up. And then.
Oh, dude, I want to go. That's awesome.
It's really, really fun, man. I'll tell you what, it's really fun. So we'll jump from Hotel Vegas to a wedding.
Right.
And this is all original music, too. So these people are like, it's beyond me why they would ask us to do it other than the fact that they know that we're going to show them a good time, really get the party going.
It's an awesome thing to have been able to build, for lack of a better word, because it's an overused thing, but a brand that mm-hmm. people can depend on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that's a viable thing, especially in this music industry where people are having such a hard time. People know that when they want to bring the party, you know, with the Latin music, they can call up Chris Love and get you guys in, and it's going to be badass, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a big part of it. They're all over the place. The festivals, this festival, like, you know, you brought up the Viva Big Band. The first year, and as well as some other festivals, I mean, man, we're like the only Latin band there. And we've pulled off some stuff like, one that comes to mind is like Big Knack and Nacogdoches. These were all like straight up country bands.
Yeah,
and we rolled in there. We're going, okay. And I got nervous, man.
Yeah.
But halfway through the set, it was hilarious.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. These people were just like going, it was a lot of fun. It was going nuts. And stuff like ACL last year, if you would have told me we were going to step out in front of like 70,000 people, I would have said, man, that's not in the cards. That's not going to happen. But
and you did it.
We did it. And I looked out at that sea of, you know, before we even got up on stage, man, I was back in the, you know, they had this little staging area and it was like a portable and the thing was like shaking. And I was like, man, what the hell's going on? Is it windy? And I looked out there and I realized it was the people that were shaking the ground. It was like a rumble. And man, I got nervous, man. But we just stepped out there and,
you got each other though. That's a cool thing about us. You can look at each other and be like, all right, I'm cool.
Yeah. She we've got been Tracy. For years.
You got your wife standing right. I mean, that's awesome. You can look right over and just be like, man, all right, don't play any wrong notes.
Everybody plays wrong notes, myself included. Yeah. We don't, you know, try not to sweat that kind of stuff, man. It's all about having a good time. And
so how much does a band like you guys, I mean, now you've been together for a long time. This is a bigger thing. How does an 8-person band write songs? Do you write mainly or does it come out of jams? You just start singing or?
Well, that's a good question. It's always evolving and there is no one certain way to do it. We've had rehearsals where we show up and within 5 minutes we left with a complete song. And we've had some that have been a challenge for years. And lately, the last couple of years, it's been more of a collaborative type thing where members will show up with ideas or have a basic recording of an idea or a riff or something. And then we'll come in and mix it up and rearrange it and kind of fine tune it and some lyrics and then rearrange those. And there's no one certain way that we really do it.
The
one thing is certain is that we just keep trying. We just keep moving forward. And then we do practice the process that I've heard other bands talk about where over the course of time, you kind of, through checking, watching the audience participation, you weed out songs and then you just keep some and then bring some back and mix them up. And
yeah, sometimes songs become dull on your end as a band. When you play them too much and they lose whatever spark, you put it away for a while, you pull it out, you're like, oh my God.
It's fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then try a little part in there. Why don't we just try that with a different rhythm or, you know, let's try a new horn chart on it or something or whatever, you know, try to mix it up.
How much do you guys play? Like how much are you working?
We play probably maybe, I don't know, half a dozen times a month or so. Okay. Half a dozen to a dozen, depending on like, you know.
So at least once a week?
Yeah.
You rehearse once a week or?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Every week. That's been one of the things that we're kind of adamant about is, you get it, man. A lot, you know, if I had a hard day at work or, you know, I'm working, doing something, I go to rehearsal because it's going to make me feel better. You know, it's my time to just get away and kind of just focus on music and do my thing. And
that's cool because, you know, that it comes out in the music. And it also in that style of music, there's always it is celebratory. Mm-hmm. And people are, you know, it's primal in a way. Like you're dancing, moving around and you're.
It
the music
is.
In some ways is repetitive enough to where it almost is like a mantra. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And you can take it a step further and you can say that like you can get a rhythm swinging. And I've watched this on a regular basis, man. And then you have some conga. You got your drummer laying down a beat. And people are kind of, you know, boom, 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 shaking the hip a little bit.
Right.
And you can watch it happen, man. It's like, it's predictable.
Yeah.
And then you have the bass and the congas and the timbales come in and start swinging it.
Yeah.
And you can just see the hips start swinging and spinning. And that's just, and then it's on. You know, that's just the way that's been my experience with this band.
Dude, they've made movies about that. You know what I mean? Like whatever, not Dirty Dancing, but like Dirty Dancing 2, like Havana Nights or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
well, it's all the same, man.
I've never
seen
it, but I know the plot is like, you know, this music overtakes you and you can't stop moving because it's this thing. And it's true, though.
Yeah, you just, it doesn't matter if it's Dirty Dancing or if it's Buena Vista Social Club or you know, the back in the 80s, the hip-hop thing. It's all just people connecting with a band and music and just being moved by it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a collective consciousness, you know, people just kind of get into it. Like I said, there's no dance moves required. So we have from professional salsa dancers all the way to people that do whatever kind of moves they're moved to do and everything in between.
Yeah.
Hotel Vegas is a good place for that, by the way.
Yeah. I want to go see you guys there.
Just that's a good one.
It sounds fun.
It is fun.
What else was I was going to ask you something a second ago, but it escaped me. So let's talk about Cuatro.
Okay.
This is your fourth release. You did three EPs.
Yeah. Right? Well, let me see. Four. They're all, some of them have been shorter than others, but that's the fourth
release.
Fourth release.
And you were telling me that your wife does all the artwork?
She does. She's
she's amazing, man.
I know, man. She's just like her mom, and she's so freaking talented.
What about your kids? Do they do stuff?
You know, they are. My little 5-year-old daughter just, we gave her some paints and some paintbrushes, and she just painted the back of my guitar. So, rainbows awesome. And unicorns and, you know.
Do you ever do a thing at the gallery?
No, we've played there a couple of times downstairs, I thought about it, but no, you know, we do a lot of different stuff. We do across the street every first Saturday. We're at Guero's.
Okay.
We've been doing that for, I guess, about four years.
I like that. You do it outside?
We do it outside.
Yeah, I love that stage out there.
Hot, cold, a little bit of rain, whatever.
I don't think I've ever been there when the weather's like perfect.
there's a little window period when it's perfect. And it'll be here soon enough.
Yeah. And do you guys, where else do you play? Like, what other cities?
Well, we do go out west, all like Alpine, Marfa.
Okay.
We
play like Railroad Blues.
We play there. Yeah. And then there's weddings. We just did a string of weddings out there, like back to back. And these are at, you know, event centers or dance halls or, you know, places like that. It's really from one gig to the next. It's literally all over the place. So we do that. You know, we do some festivals around the country, festivals here in town, some club gigs like Hotel Vegas and Flamingo Cantina, and just a couple of the old classics.
It's cool though because those are like punk clubs, like punk reggae.
Yep.
Clubs. You guys have some reggae feel in your...
We do some reggae stuff. We found on this fourth recording, actually, that... one of them that comes to mind is the Pulga 290. It's the 290 flea market right outside town here. So it's like, you know, get your boots, your shirt, your belt, man. You can get a car stereo. They'll even put it in for you.
Yeah.
Get your cheap furniture.
Yeah.
I forget what to talk about with some other stuff.
Cubans don't call it La Pulga. They call it La Mierdería. I swear to God, that's what my grandma's always
called. For real?
It. Yeah.
That's funny, man.
Vamos a la mierdería.
That's funny,
man. Te compro una camiseta.
That's some funny shit right there, man. Yeah. I'm going to have to spring that on. That could be a song right there.
Some really funky, like names for things.
I know. I love it.
Yeah.
I work with some. Aceri. Yeah. I even asked them the other day, ¿Qué es Aceri? Oh, you know, Aceri, you know. Hey, how you doing, man?
Yeah. Well, it's funny also because, like, within the... Because, okay, so my family, like, they moved here from Cuba when Castro took over, right? And then, like, in the early 70s, we moved to Mexico, and I was a little kid, and I would come back from Mexico, and I would have a Mexican accent when I spoke Spanish, and it used to infuriate my grandmother.
Oh, I bet, man.
Because I lost my Cuban accent. Like, what do you sound like?
And now you picked it back up.
Yeah.
It's funny how it happens.
Yeah. How do you, when you guys record, do you record live?
Well, it's been a different experience every time. I think 3 and 4 were with a guy, Gil Gonzalez. He played with this band, who was it? Genitalica, okay. Which those guys were huge in Latin America. I'm talking like stadium sellouts. Genitalica back in the day. And he has a small studio in Austin. And we just, you know, did it there. Now we just did a couple tracks with our friend Beto Martinez from Brownout and a couple other bands he plays with Grupo Fantasma, all that.
Yeah. Is he a Manu Chicha?
Yeah, he is. He's a guitar player, super nice guy. And
the other, not Adrian, but the other. I know Adrian. But
yeah, Beto, the lead player.
That's fucking great, man. That band is awesome too.
They are, and he is a super cool dude. He's really good at what he does, and he's got some really cool, like vintage, grainy sounds coming out of that studio. And that's what we've already done a couple tracks, and that's gonna go on the next one. So we're doing that with him, and that's more of a live, earthy feel. You know, mics in the room, set up. Going through to tape, you know, that route. But man, we've done the grainy recordings, we've done the super polished recordings. It's a new experience every time. We recorded one with our friend Rick Delilah, who just sent me a message a few days ago. He just landed a job as a lead engineer at this new Star Studios in El Paso, like multi-million dollar complex. So way to go, Rick. He landed the gig out there.
Also, congratulations to anyone that opens a giant studio.
I know, man. And as lead engineer out there in El Paso. So it's been a different experience, Johnny, every time. I think this one we're going to probably end up finishing up with Beto, just because we have a kind of like a, you know, we got the ball rolling there. And,
yeah.
You know, everybody likes what's going on over there, and it's fun.
Do your songs evolve? In shows, like, do they what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
In the Grateful Dead kind of way, like, is it worth recording every show because you don't know what kind of way you're going to take a certain song at some places?
Well, we do that, but for the most part, it's a combination of sticking to the script and having some people with some Grateful Dead influence that will try some different things and stretch out. Some of the soloing that goes on is definitely, it's never the same thing twice because they're just at that level. Yeah. It's like Steven on guitar. This guy can rip a solo.
See, if I was your manager, I would be like, you know how Bob Schneider does that thing, the Frunk thing, he records every show, you can just buy it afterwards on the thing.
Yeah. I'd
do that because I just, for some reason, it just seems like,
we should.
Each show would be different. At least like the big shows would be each different enough.
We should.
And different enough from the record and different enough from each other to stand on their own as a thing that if you were a fan of your band, you could have this endless collection of like, oh, you got to hear the way they did it at the wind down at ACL, you know, whatever.
Yeah. There's been talk of that. And, you know, I should probably look into that.
It's expensive. But it's. I think once you get the ball rolling,
like
you can make a lot of money.
Well, no, man, it's all expensive.
Yeah, it's all expensive.
Yeah, it's all uphill struggle when it comes to, you know, money and music and
all
that.
What's your other thing? Do you do another thing?
Another band?
No, another job.
I work I'm an electrician.
Oh wow!
So I do that during the day.
Dude, it's probably also go awesome. Out. Do you fix your own pedals?
You know what? I just fixed one. I don't really get into the electronics too much. It's more like high voltage.
Okay.
But I dabble in it.
Okay.
Now, one thing, though, I got to say about electricians and playing guitar is I've noticed this, that you're both guys manipulating wire to do what you want it to do. So there is like an intimate relationship between a guitar player and his strings and an electrician and wire,
right.
Which is basically, that's all it is on a guitar. They're just steel wires, man.
Did you go to school for it?
I didn't go to school for either one. Everything's just been, you know, I've had to bust my ass for everything. I'm like, I don't know if I'm hard headed or what, but just on the job training and taught myself. I knew like minimal, you know, theory or any of that. I'm the guy that knows the least amount of theory in the group. I'm just driven to keep things moving forward and surround myself with guys that...
There's a ringleader. You know, there needs to be a ringleader in places. So you got credit as producer of the record. That makes sense to me.
Well, you just kind of push it.
A ringleader. But... like, it doesn't mean you do anything more than everyone else. You just kind of like, you keep a, hey, hey, all right. Hey, everyone come in here. All right. Hey, don't
yeah,
go too
referee.
Far. Come here, come here, come here.
Yeah, referee yeah, a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of that that happens. But, yeah, I can see you play guitar too, man. You get it. There's just, there's something about playing guitar and trying different types of music and different settings. And, you know, you find something that kind of works and you just kind of keep at it and kind of hone it, you know, and hopefully you can still be doing it for a while, you know.
Yeah.
The cards are played right.
Yeah. So, all right, let's talk. You said that at one point, like when you were in high school, you were into rap rock.
Oh,
rap
yeah, metal. Man. I've been through so many different, you know, I'm 45, man. I've been through the...
So what did you start out in? Like, did you have a band in Mexico or...
No, I was too young, but, in Florida, you know, I played with some guys.
Where in Florida?
I lived in St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay.
Okay.
And, so Tampa Bay, but Tampa has a really, limited music scene. You know, it's just it's tough out there, man.
I graduated from Miami Beach Senior High School. We have a very similar, like, we were in some similar places.
It's all tied together, man. It's all, you know... it all plays out the way it's supposed to, you know.
Yeah.
I see that too.
So were you writing songs or were you covering like Limp Bizkit or something?
You know, we were writing songs from day one.
Okay.
That's good. And just going against the grain, just kind of doing it. Of course, you know, what we did record, the recordings are pretty bad. I mean, you know, some of them are on cassette, and you know, I'd much rather listen
people
to
people are doing that now. Half the bands that play Hotel Vegas put their shit out on cassette now.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah,
I've heard about that.
I think it's like a funny thing to do because you get the download card, but at least you get something that's weird.
Well, there's something about I was talking to a friend of mine that's he's still in Florida, he's in Tampa. And he's a bit younger. I think he's in his like 30s or so. And he was telling me that, as you know, talking about like recording and the format that he plays in like a, I guess what you would call it like a rock type. I don't know exactly what type of rock, but he said, man, as far as like recording and duplicating CDs, he said that they don't do it anymore. They just having a hard time selling CDs. So that was an interesting conversation we had. And I'm like, well, you know. The industry is changing. I think there's been talk of doing the next one on vinyl.
Well, I was going to say, just for Tracy's sake, because of all the beautiful work that she does, I would like to see it. I'm sure she would do pretty big, you know.
Vinyl?
Yeah. See her artwork.
That'd be nice.
On a nice size thing.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
That's the one thing that's always made me so sad. Like, I was married. My ex-wife is a person that does, like, she directs videos, but she also does CD packaging, mm-hmm. and it just kept getting smaller and smaller, and then like iTunes, and you're getting like this 1-inch thing. Like, did you even need to hire someone to do that? Like, you can't even see it.
Yeah, yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice because I can remember playing with my older brother's vinyl when I was a kid, and the artwork was just as much as, if not a bigger experience than the music. And then you had these sleeves and like the Zeppelin 3 one with the spinning wheel on the inside of it. And I'd sit there and spin it for hours, man, just listening to it. And
it's weird because there's this odd sort of, to me, economic disconnect where people won't pay for music, but you'll go buy one album for $45 at Waterloo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a collector deal.
I do understand it. I mean, I've got vinyl and I love it and I do listen to it, but I also listen to music like on Spotify on shuffle and like on my iPod on shuffle and like now I listen to whole albums. How do you take in music? Because I'm 47, so we're like around the same age.
Yeah,
we're
the same age.
Came up with the same stuff.
Yep.
Records, cassettes, CDs.
I've been thinking about getting a record player, but mostly it's just radio or internet or Spotify or, man, I listen to all of it. I listen to Pandora at work sometimes.
How do you find new Latin music? Because I find music, but it sounds like drum machine pop music.
There's a lot of that.
Like a lot of Miami yeah. going on stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Well, I tend to listen to like the more the older stuff and try to get into like go a little bit deeper with it, like the like obscure stuff that maybe was recorded back in the day or something like that. But it's new to me, so it's like kind of newly discovered, but it's old.
You
know?
Right.
And some new bands too. You know, I'm always looking around listening to stuff.
It's funny because I don't look for it as much anymore. But just growing up, my family was into music.
I bet.
Like they were into it, and you know, it plays loud in my house. In fact, my girlfriend was saying, it was like I was listening to this music this morning, and she was like, "Oh, it sounds like being at your grandma's house." And I was like, "Oh yeah, it does, doesn't it?" You know?
Yeah, I can only imagine what it's like to go to Cuba. Where
I've never been there.
But
I want to go.
It's gotta be, you know what? We played with a Cuban conga player a few years back, Leonel Rojas. And this guy, it was his job. He was paid by the government to like play congas for like some kind of tourist troupe, you know, whatnot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he said he would wake up, drink his little strong coffee, and start playing his drum. And he was one of the happiest dudes I've ever met, man. And I asked him, what's the difference? Because he didn't even have a calendar, a cell phone, a car. He had his bicycle and his conga. One conga, because that's all he needed. And he could play three or four. But he didn't. You know,
but he
didn't
get all the sounds out of the one.
Everything out of
one
conga.
I love those guys.
I know, man. The guy's a freaking monster.
Yeah.
And I asked him, so what's. He'd been here a couple of weeks. He was kind of going through like culture shock, you know. And I asked him, what's the difference between Cubans and Americans? While this is still fresh and you can see it and it's plain to you. And he said, you know, the difference that I see is that Americans are always living for tomorrow or yesterday or something like that. And Cubans, man, we just live for today.
Yeah.
And he just says, all I want to do is just play my drum and have a good time. And that's it. So I'd like to go visit someday and check that culture out a little bit. And
it's going to get weird here for a while.
Huh?
It's going to get weird.
Like, it is.
It's going to get like the first Sheridan 4 Points open there.
That was quick.
Yeah. I don't think they were waiting. I think they'd been getting it together for a long time before it happened. But
yeah.
It looks pretty extravagant and luxurious. Which, you know, those are the things that, like, that's how they ended up in the revolution in the first place.
Yep.
Really.
Yeah.
We got to help these guys out and give them more than just the two choices of communism or this insane
one
capitalism where we're just, you know, you're our tourist place and we come, you know, crap on you and leave.
It'll take them a while to find their new sense of identity.
Yeah.
But what, it'll get there.
What brought you to Austin, like from St. Petersburg?
Well, Tracy and I, she's from Deming, New Mexico, like 15 minutes on this side of the border.
Okay.
And we went out there to get married and...
You met her there in St. Petersburg?
I met her in St. Pete. She was working at a local sports bar, and I've just chased her until she finally went out with me, and the rest is history, man. But we went out there and to get married, and we left New Mexico, and we were just literally just passing through Austin. No rhyme, no reason. This is before kids and all that. I had no intention of staying. We just it was off of 35. That's how I ended up in Austin.
Right.
It was an exit off the highway, and you know, we just got right off the bat. We kind of liked it, and one thing led to another, and here we are, man. I can't imagine living anywhere else. I guess that was like 2003 or 4 or something like that. Around then, yeah.
Wow.
What about you? How long have you been here?
Well, I lived here in the 80s for a while with my mom, and then she died. And that's when I moved to Miami to live with my dad. But I've lived here for 25 years, since like, it'll be 25 years in August Will Sexton's birthday.
So you've seen the whole change happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I miss a lot of places. I had a thing a few years ago where I was going out with someone and they had never seen Slacker. And I was kind of drunk and I was like, I put it on and like 15 minutes of the movie, I just started crying. And I was like, you used to be so cool here, man. But it was just kind of like the inane philosophical BS conversations going on between people that just pass on the street, which was so real then. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I went and saw that show the second day I lived here at the Dolby with Will. And I mean, I know it's his birthday when I moved here because I was going to move here a week later. And he was like, no, come on my birthday. I'm doing a big show at the 311. But it was just kind of like that life here to me, it's just, you know, and I knew people coming up in the scene. Like, I don't know if you know Ian Moore and like Elias Haslinger, mm-hmm. but when I lived here when I was a teenager, we all went to high school together and stuff at Austin mm-hmm. High. So I don't know. I love the community. I love the music community here.
Oh,
I really
that's,
do.
That's why, you know, people wonder why there's a million musicians in Austin and a million more moving here every day. It's because there's no other city like this in the world. I mean, people are just receptive to music. I mean, you go to other cities and I got my old bandmate from Florida. He's out in L.A. And he said, man, this just, and whenever he comes to visit, he's like, oh my God, man, this is like, it's actually like, it's real. It's a real right. community.
Yeah.
There's real musicians, there's real fans and community and venues and dancers and, you know, and it's, you just don't have that elsewhere. You have your little entertainment district, you know, whatever they have on.
Yeah, but you don't have this.
No.
This culture of, and you know, it's watered down, I'm sure, since you moved here with all the different kinds of people that moved here. Well, that's not why they moved here, and mm-hmm. they're not impressed by the live music, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's been able to sustain that. And I work at the Austin Music Foundation,
mm-hmm.
and I do consultations with bands. And a lot of the thing that I notice when people are coming in and they're really lost, you're like, well, who do you hang out with? Like, do you have bros doing stuff? And they're like, oh, I don't know. You're like, you know what, man? Part of this whole thing, and this especially here, and in L.A. and New York, man, you become part of a community.
Yeah.
Like, you'll play gigs together. You'll go to each other's gigs. You'll start a scene. That's how you do it. That's how everybody does it.
Yep.
Like, that's how it works, especially here. Like, this is a very friendly scene. You know,
it is.
And you can find people that you know, older people that are more experienced, being able to be like, I wouldn't do that if I were you. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's just very advantageous.
It is.
To be an active member of this community.
And there's so many opportunities that even with as many people, like you hear a lot of, well, it's you know, saturated, or it's hard, it's difficult. And I'm sure it is for some people, some more than others, but any way you look at it, man, there's things that are possible here that are just not possible other cities. I mean, just, and it's because of the people, really. Yeah. They're just open-minded about music. I mean, some of these venues and gigs we go play, we're getting ready to do it this weekend, a wedding where it's, these people have never really heard our music. And so here we are, we're showing up at a wedding, and it's only one of the things that we do. And we're going to do what we do and bring the party and get everybody dancing, having a good time. I suspect that just would not happen in other places. It would be very specific and methodical in other cities. They would know exactly what the band is going to do, what they're going to play, how they're going to play it.
Yeah.
But people here, people have faith, man. People,
yeah.
I don't know how else to explain it. They just have faith, and people see, they see the good in other people, man.
Yeah.
I guess that's one way to look at it, but
yeah.
I don't know how else to explain it, really.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm gonna give this shout out right now and say you can find these guys at El Tule Band. ElTuleBand.com, and you guys are playing a free show for Austin Music Foundation, the ACL Wind Down, which is very fun.
Oh yeah.
It is free. It is early. And is at a badass place, the ACL 310. Have you been in that room yet?
I have not, but I hear they have badass air conditioning.
They do have badass air conditioning, but they keep the door open for the wind down.
Woo!
But that's all right. It's good, man. The air conditioning is so badass that you'll be cool on stage. And the listeners, if you want to go in and stand by the bar, you will be. I just did this a couple weeks ago at the last one. And then you go outside, talk to some people, see some things. But is it you guys and someone else, or is it just you guys?
I believe it's us doing a couple of sets.
Great.
Yep.
Great.
And they have wine and food trucks and some kind of.
Yeah, it's a great event. And it, as I said, it is free, and it is in pretty much the most impressive new venue in town, for sure.
We're totally excited.
Yeah.
There's that. We got the KUTX, the live studio coming
1A.
up.
Yeah, you have that coming up as well, which is, that's enough. I would love to have a recording of that.
That's going to be on there. That'll be like a live recording coming up here.
You've got all that on your El Tule Band.com. And also, you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you're on Instagram. You're on Instagram?
Yeah, the usual culprits.
I followed you at like 5:30 in the morning this morning, then you followed me right back. It was so weird. I was like,
we're both up, man.
We were both up.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, hey, you want to just come over now? I was sitting here just listening to your music and watching your videos. You guys have a lot of videos.
Yeah, we've been fortunate to work with some UT. You know, that's a great resource for making videos for bands out there.
Yeah.
Slide hit up the students, man. Yeah. You know, because they got to turn in for a grade. They're going to make sure it's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, and they do just a stellar job of making videos.
God, what an exciting thing, too, because you are getting someone that's very hungry and probably you're getting someone that's putting everything into what every possible drip of their blood, sweat, and tears they can put into these videos.
Yeah, some these one kids they did props and scenes. They went all the way to Laredo to film this specific scene they wanted in it, and it was I was just blown away by.
How do you find these guys? What do you call them? The school?
I called the school, the film department, and said, "Hey, we got a paid gig for some students. I mean, you know, they get to make a good video for a grade and make some money, and we get a music video, and it all works out for everybody." And they go above and beyond too, man.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're hungry and they're dying to do it.
Yeah.
You guys seem like you're hungry and you're still happy making music and you're doing it like a family.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
I can't really picture myself doing anything else. Just feel really, really fortunate to be doing it in this capacity with these guys in this band. Like I said, this band has allowed me to actually, I mean, I played in bands, I dabbled, I did this, you know, but it's allowed me to become a musician, really, in that sense of the word, you know.
Yeah, a real musician.
Well, you know, it's,
you are.
It wouldn't happen without this band.
No.
It would not have happened, no.
No. Well, congratulations.
Thanks, man.
You guys
appreciate
make great music, and I'm looking forward to seeing you. I've not seen you live, but I am looking forward to seeing you at the Wind Down on Wednesday, July 27th. Tuesday, July 26th, you will be doing a KUTX live in Studio 1A. Friday, July 29th, Viva Big Band. For all their other dates, go to eltuleband.com. Pick up their albums, Echo in Austin, Volumes 1 through 3 and 4. The most recent one that was not produced by Michael Ramos. And is there anything I'm missing?
I think that's about it, man.
All right, John Dell, thanks for coming, man.
Thank you, Johnny. La ciudad de las tres mentiras, la ciudad de
Valle Hermoso, la ciudad de las tres mentiras. Yeah. John Dell from the band El Tule. You can find them at eltuleband.com. And don't forget that you can see them for free next Wednesday, July 27th at the Wind Down, presented by KUTX, Austin Music Foundation, and Rufino Wine at the 310 Austin City Limits, the new 310 Austin City Limits Theater. It's going to be free. Come on out. Check them out. It's early, 5 to 8. They'll be playing probably the whole time. They're the only band listed, so they will be playing the whole time. All right? Get on out there. Check them out. Look them up at eltuleband.com. Pick up their album, Cuatro. Great album. And their other EPs, Volumes 1, 2, and 3. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, while you're out there looking up stuff with eltuleband.com, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also subscribe to it on Stitcher and get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. That's right. 2 shows a week, 8 shows a month, 104 shows a year. A lot of shows. A lot of shows to listen to. All right. And don't forget, if you like it, share it on Facebook and Twitter. We don't have a marketing budget. We don't advertise. We need you to help us spread the word. So tweet about it. Share it on Twitter. Share it on Facebook. Share it on Snapchat. Share it on Instagram. Wherever you do your sharing, share it. All right? Thank you so much for listening to the show. Let's hear some more music from El Tule. And don't forget to see them for free next Wednesday in Austin, Texas. Next Wednesday, July 27th, 5 to 8 p.m. at the Wind Down at the 310 Austin City Limits Live Theater. All right? See you then. Have a great weekend. Let's get down.
Mira cómo baila la colombiana, mira cómo baila la mexicana, mira cómo baila la chicana, la puertorriqueña, la dominicana. Mira cómo baila la brasileña, mira cómo baila la cubana, mira cómo baila la americana, la güera francesa, la venezolana. Mira cómo baila Miranda, oye cómo canta Catalina la chilanga. Mira cómo baila Miranda, oye cómo canta Catalina la chilanga. Mira cómo baila Miranda, oye cómo canta Alejandra la región montana. Mira cómo baila Miranda, oye cómo canta, como bailaba mi tía Blanca. Panameña, mira cómo baila la peruana, mira cómo baila la chilena, la guatemalteca y la hondureña. Mira cómo baila Miranda, oye cómo canta Catalina la chilanga. Mira cómo baila Miranda, oye cómo canta Catalina la chilanga. Mira cómo baila Miranda, oye cómo canta Alejandra la región montana. Mira cómo baila Miranda, oye cómo canta, como bailaba mi tía Blanca.
Thank you.